Welcome to the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Coming up, an inside look at the business of Las Vegas. Stay tuned for interviews with the movers and shakers at the top and on the way up. Plus, Las Vegas sports, entertainment, restaurants, weather, and more. This is the Vegas Business Report, because there's no business like Vegas business. Now, here's Jeff Nathanson and J.J. Snyder.
And welcome to this edition of Vegas Business Report. It is August 22nd. I'm J.J. Snyder, here with Jeff Nathanson. And today we're going to revisit one of our favorite business topics. This is truly one of our favorite topics. And we're going to hear from our friend Eric Davison, CEO of DBV Solutions. The topic is efficiency in business. It's a very hot topic because if you're not efficient, you're inefficient. And that can lead to a whole bunch of problems. All right, later we're going to revisit a segment with an amazing local nonprofit. Many of you know, many of you have volunteered for or gone to their events, Opportunity Village. We love them with their various locations throughout Las Vegas, helping our community. We're going to hear from their chief administrative officer, Tracy Brown May. Lovely gal.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. Opportunity Village, JJ, as you know, they do so much for adults with intellectual disabilities and their families. So we're going to hear all about the business of humans doing good later this hour. So, by the way, did you know that you can buy an Opportunity Village license plate through the DMV and you can have it on your car, and the money, a lot of that money goes to support the programs at OV?
Well, I didn't know before you and I went down and visited Tracy Brown May at Opportunity Village here in the Southwest at their location there. And I saw the license plate and I heard a little bit about the story behind it and how they designed it. But it's actually one of my favorite aesthetically license plates that is available in Nevada. It's got great color. It's got a heart on it. It's just, it's uplifting. It's happy.
No, it's those hands. That's the heart.
It's, yeah, the hands.
Isn't that a Taylor Swift thing or something?
He's doing like a selfie heart right now.
The heart thing, whatever.
That's a good pose for you, Jeff. Do you do that a lot in photos?
No, I don't think I did it right, but you get the point. But I have seen people all over town with those Opportunity Village license plates. So that whole story is coming up. Just a reminder, a couple of quick announcements. People can connect with this program via our website, which is vegasbusinessreport.com. There's a lot of information there. There's episodes you can listen to right online there if you want to do that. And we should also remind you that this portion of Vegas Business Report is brought to you today by DBV Solutions. They help businesses adapt, innovate, and thrive. Visit dbvsolutions.com for more. We have a great show coming up today on Vegas Business Report. We are going to kick this one off with JJ's Hit List.
Now it's time for JJ's Hit List.
Ooh, thank you. All right. Well, today on my hit list, I thought it was only appropriate to mention things that can help you cool off, Jeff.
Oh, that's a great one for Las Vegas.
I know. So I got two good ones for you.
Okay.
I visited the new Museum of Ice Cream at Area 15 for the very first time.
That's a thing?
Oh, yes.
Okay. It's a new thing.
Well, it's new to Las Vegas. There are Museum of Ice Cream locations, a few across the country. But it's part of that expansion of Zone 2 at Area 15.
Okay.
So it's kind of the area of Area 15 just to the north of the original building. It's where the Universal Horror Complex is. Also, have you seen that beautiful 747 jet from off the freeway?
I have seen that, yes.
And that tall tower with an eyeball on the top, the eyedropper, the new
thrill ride. Isn't that like a roller coaster? Yeah, thrill ride.
Well,
yeah.
It's just one of these, kind of like a roller coaster, except all it does is lifts you up in there and then it drops you.
Okay.
And I've experienced it. It's an absolute blast. I recommend that. That's going to be a little hot to experience right now because it is outdoors.
Yep.
Museum of Ice Cream, though, great place to cool off.
So is this like an ice cream stand or what? What is it?
So it's hard to explain. It's kind of an experience.
Okay.
It's definitely a family-friendly experience. In fact, I went on a day that was being sponsored through Verizon. So Verizon had invited families to come down earlier in the month, just right before school started, and experience it. It's really, it's a tribute to the love of ice cream. Mm. It's entirely, it's the most pink experience you will ever, I don't know, don't wear pink because you'll blend in, you know, almost like a green screen. But it's a place for kids to solve puzzles. There's slides. It's a visual, amazing visual experience. There's different little rooms to walk through. And I didn't know anything about it before I went. So I thought, well, you know, what is the point of this? As you walk in, you get a little name tag and they ask you to pick out an ice cream centric name.
Oh. What was yours?
Mine was Rocky Road. It could be anything to do. You could.
I can see that.
What would you pick if you had to pick an ice cream related name?
Vanilla. Okay. I don't know. Vanilla Jeff instead of vanilla ice. Jeff. I don't know.
Vanilla Jeff. Okay, that's pretty funny. The friend I was with, you know, named herself Sprinkles.
Okay.
And there's the people who work there are very interactive and it's cute. So it's a fun place. When they really won me over was about after I'd been there for an hour and I realized the giant ice cream cafe in the middle of the museum is free.
What?
So you actually walk up. I've never in my life ordered ice cream from a giant case of ice cream and the ice cream's free.
Wow.
So then I understood the price of admission and then I started to understand the whole experience. So you get in line, you choose from, there's probably, I don't know, 15 to 18 flavors. I highly recommend the Brambleberry Cheesecake ice cream.
Okay.
And then, as you can imagine, there are endless array of sprinkles, all for free as well.
I did not know that. That is a big selling point. So it's a museum, but it's also a place you can eat ice cream, and it comes with the deal. It sounds like a lot of fun.
And, you know, you might be there an hour or two. There's some adorable swag. There's stuffed animals. There's places to take pictures is quite a requirement of any experience nowadays.
It's got to be Instagrammable. Yeah.
It's very Instagrammable. Like I said, I would recommend, you know, definitely if you have younger people. I didn't have kids with me. I actually brought a friend who was visiting from out of town, and it made for a very fun, lighthearted place to catch up.
Okay.
So I'd highly recommend it.
Highly recommend it. That is on the hit list for today. And actually, I'm going to check that out. The Museum of Ice Cream. That sounds like something that would be really cool.
You should kind know of a little bit more about.
Kind of a Vegas thing for sure. Well, we appreciate that, JJ. JJ's Hit List has been brought to you by Reliable Environmental Services, Precision Speed, and Accountability. Really the best commercial clean company in Las Vegas. For a free estimate for your business, 702-418-9247, 702-418-9247. Coming up on this edition of the show, we will hear from Eric Davison of DBV Solutions. That is coming up straight ahead. And later on, Tracy Brown May from Opportunity Village will be on this radio program. So stay with us for that. JJ and I will return right after this with more Vegas Business Report.
Back to the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Now, back to the business at hand.
We roll on for this Saturday, and JJ, let me tell you about our next guest on the Vegas Business Report. His name is Eric Davison. He is the founder of DBV Solutions. That is a global management consulting firm specializing in digital transformation. These are big words. Digital transformation, business process re-engineering, and even AI integration for financial services, insurance, and healthcare industries, just to name a few. And they do a lot of work right here in Las Vegas.
This is going to be really interesting to dive into. Thank you so much for joining us on the Vegas Business Report. Great to see you, Eric.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
We are dying to know, how did DBV Solutions get its start?
That's a great question. And a lot of people ask me this, you know, you've been in business for 22 years. How did you get started? And, you know, I spent a few years in the military flying jets, got my MBA.
Just flying jets.
Just flying jets.
Okay. All right.
And then, you know, got bored with that and I wanted to get into business and I got my MBA and I worked at Accenture, you know, the global management consulting firm.
Yeah.
And I realized pretty quickly, you know what, I can do this better, faster, and cheaper. and provide more value to my clients that way. And I opened up DBV Solutions 22 years ago. And I love the name too, because it's driving business value.
DBV. I like that. Just like driving Vegas Business Report is a VBR. Right?
Absolutely.
So how did you land? You know, we talk a lot on this show, Eric, about Las Vegas and businesses that focus on Vegas. It's an unbelievable, almost a one-of-a-kind type of city for business. Obviously, there's a lot of tourism. There's a lot of casinos. How did DBV start to focus in on Las Vegas? Is it because there's so much opportunity here to elevate on the business side of things?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a funny story. So, you know, we live here part of the year for over 6 months. And I told my wife, I want to live somewhere where they have pool, spa, and palm trees. Ah. And my wife, having grown up in Colorado, said, throw some mountains and you got me. Bingo, here we are, right? But I realized pretty quickly it is really an underserved market, right? So you have hospitality, which is huge in Las Vegas, obviously. But if the economy turns just so slightly as it has been over the last year, tariffs and other factors, the economy's down, right? What do you have to rely on in other industries? We help foster that, right? We want to help bring other businesses to Nevada, especially to Southern Nevada. We want to help present companies in Southern Nevada be more successful. So I think there is a huge opportunity and a huge market in this community. Plus, this community is so fantastic. You know, we've met so many business owners and so many community leaders and even political leaders who, it doesn't matter what party they're at, they want to do the right thing and they want to bring businesses to Southern Nevada. And we want to be part of that.
It is definitely a very pro-business community. We're very proud of that. And it's somewhat of a melting pot. I was not born here. Jeff, you were not born here.
Nope.
Yeah. And nor were you, Eric. So here we are. So interesting. So one of the things you're doing at DBV is helping companies stay abreast of modern technologies and in terms of helping their businesses run efficiently. We must just throw out the question about AI. It is here. It is changing so rapidly. How are you helping companies use it?
That's a great question. And so many companies are really grappling with AI, right? What is it? Will I lose my job, right? a top survey of top CEOs just recently conducted really are looking at AI where it does not help with future leaders in companies, because how do you get experience, right? You become a manager, you become a senior level manager. And what do you do along the way? You make mistakes. And when you make mistakes, you learn from those mistakes, right? We call them in the consulting world, we call them case studies, right? But a true good leader in a company has to have gone through that. And with AI, we are truly looking at leaders who have not really experienced all of that. So we want to make sure we put this out in front of everybody. Then next, there are battles we have to fight with AI, right? You have to convince senior leadership what it does strategically for your company. Middle management, what does it do specifically for your company? And anybody who is at that worker level, how will that improve your daily life? You're not going to be eliminated. However, some of the mundane jobs can be automated pretty quickly, and you can do that. And you can actually grow professionally and become more advanced in your skill set and really advance to the next levels and ranks. That's how we try to help people and companies with AI.
It's such a fascinating conversation. We're talking right now with Eric Davison of DBV Solutions, and AI is obviously a big player. I've always said there's two types of businesses. You can conduct your business two ways: the old way or the now way. It's an old phrase that I made up 100 years ago. But I think there are a lot of companies who are getting by doing things the old way. I think the companies that are really looking forward and really looking to be efficient and modernized are looking at how can we do business the now way. And JJ, like you said, it changes so fast. What, Eric, are the changes that you're starting to see in how businesses operate from an operations standpoint? You talked about AI being one of them and using that to further your business, not necessarily replace everybody, replace things that are mundane, but actually create opportunities for other folks to elevate their game too, right?
Absolutely. And Jeff, you bring up a very interesting point, the now way, right? When we look at businesses, and AI is a fantastic example for that. When you're looking at it, it was just like the outsourcing craze in the 90s and 2000s.
We've heard this song before, yeah.
And I always look at, we don't just do AI, but we do a full-fledged business model review, and we can help you in all aspects of that. So I'm looking at it, what is your overall vision and your strategy, right? And how does AI support that, right? Just because you're saying, my competitors are doing it, I have to do that. A Me Too strategy is not a strategy, right? Normally you have to be in, stay extra time in school because you're copying from somebody else, right?
Right, absolutely.
You have to come up and understand what is it that you want to do. And then you move forward with the capabilities that are at hand. And AI is just a lever, just like that.
And I kind of feel, JJ, too, like a lot of companies, they know they, like you said, they should be doing AI. They should be looking at that. But the execution of that, I think that, Eric, is where, DBV comes in, is company knows they have to do AI. We got to do something. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? But they don't really have the people there in the house that can execute on AI. And I think that's one of the challenges, right? Yeah, advise. Yeah, exactly.
What gives me a little hope about the way we're discussing this right now is that, Eric, you're really pointing out it's a collaboration waiting to happen. So humans working with AI.
Absolutely. And that's a fantastic point as well, JJ. As a consultant and having done this for 30 years, we're not coming in, and I don't want to name names, but there are other consulting firms, the large ones, rhymes with Spinzy.
Yeah. I work with some of those. I work with some of those guys. And they never hang around to help you execute.
They don't. They tell you what needs to be done or what they think needs to be done, but they're not collaborating directly with their clients. And then when it comes time to implement, they're left on their own. We help them all along the way, right? We bring some industry best practices. But just because I'm saying, JJ has done this on this side, Jeff, you need to do it the same way, is not a solution.
It's customized.
Again, it's customized. It might work for JJ really well, but how do we make that a best practice for you? How do we fit that into your organizational structure, into your culture, into your fabric, into your processes, into your technologies, right? That's how you really create the value. But you have to do it in collaboration with your client.
For sure.
That's so interesting, because I was just going to touch on what makes you different as a global management, consultant. But I think you just said it, is that you are, by operating kind of in that mid-range, you're able to go there and spend a little more time, kind of like a hands-on approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we have the benefit of being a smaller firm. We're not, a McKinsey, an Accenture, a Deloitte, and so forth, that has to sell million-dollar projects all the time to keep the cash flow going, right? We can actually be choosy in who we work with, right? And at the same time, once we're done with a particular project, I'm not going to bother you for 10 more, right? Because our approach, our model, our methodology proves itself. If you feel that in the future you have some other needs, you're going to call us back. That's what most of our clients have done in the past. So we really focus on the delivery of one piece that we contract with you to
bite size, something that you can make an impact a lot quicker, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's what makes a huge difference for the companies. I love the fact that you have solutions in your company name, Eric, too, by the way, because that is actually what you're putting out there, is we can solve things that people need help solving. I want to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking with Eric Davidson right now. I want to talk a little bit about, when you look at your consulting practice and the application for companies that are looking to modernize, to be more efficient, to grow, and all of those things, maybe some case studies. Let's talk about an application, no names, of course, but ways that, you can kind of look at, hey, this is where this company was, this is where they are now, because I think making a difference is such a huge thing. So
let's
do that. We'll do that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. You are listening to the Vegas Business Report, and we'll be right back at you right after these messages.
Excellent.
Welcome back to the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Now, back to the business at hand.
And we are back on the Vegas Business Report. Jeff and JJ here, joined by Eric Davison from DBV Solutions. So we were just talking about the solutions that you provide, Eric, and every solution is, you know, any company's best wish when they have a problem. So we're starting with a problem or a challenge. It must take a lot of work just to determine what a problem is with a company before you move on to providing a solution.
That's a really valid point. And, you know, funny story about that, solutions in our name. It was something very different for a very short period of time when I founded the company. And I came back from a long trip, driving from O'Hare back home in Chicagoland area. And I was driving by the Motorola building, and they had just rebranded to Motorola Solutions because it's more solution focused. And I thought, that's a smart way to do it. And here we are, DBV Solutions. So just as a
it's just so
side
easy.
Story.
It's so easy. And when you talk about solutions, Eric, let's talk about a case study.
Absolutely.
So I know you've worked at tons of companies. You don't need to get into the names and the places and so forth, because a lot of it is confidential, right? And that's fine. But kind of high level here, let's talk a little bit about a company that you were able to, whatever you want to call it, modernize, improve efficiency, improve operational, you know, a capability or whatever it might be. Tell us a little bit about how you kind of went in and looked at something and what the outcome was.
And I'd love to provide multiple examples. How much time do we have?
Let's go.
But I want to bring one company particularly, because you mentioned financial services, but yeah. I want to get outside of that realm.
Okay.
Right? To me, everything is a process. You automate that process, you're supporting your vision and your strategy, and you have a good organization and good people with the right skills supporting all of that. That's kind of that blueprint of that business model. And I want to get into an automotive engineering firm that we helped. They were making diesel engines, and their product development lifecycle, if you're starting the development of a new engine, it took about 7.5 years.
Oh.
And you can imagine, that is $100 million in R&D expense, right?
Amazing.
So, yeah. And the other point I want to make with that, in financial services, I've worked in banking, I've worked in insurance, I sold insurance, I know the space really well. But you don't have to be a specialist in that particular competency. I'm not an engineer, by God. I'm the opposite, right? But if you look and analyze your processes and how you're going to work and introducing some technology components, you can yield so many benefits. So long story short, with that company particularly, we reduced that cycle time of that new engine development from 7.5 to 4 years.
So that's like 100% improvement.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, went from $100 million in cost to less than $50 million in cost.
And that's based on efficiency.
It's based on efficiency.
There's so much waste. I mean, we all, you know.
But also doing more analytics and introducing more technologies to recreate instead of building something and breaking it, right? If you build it and break it at these initial stages, you know, they could be $200,000, $300,000 a pop. But with analytics, you can predict what the behavior potentially could be, and you're saving a ton of money doing it that way.
That is fascinating. I would love to ask for another example from a different industry.
Yeah. So let's take an insurance. Global insurance broker was going to set up a cost savings initiative and you know, leveraging outsourced resources. We started with 7 people in a third-party country, and we ended up with 5,000 when all was said and done.
Wow.
And what it allowed, though, was, you know, people always look at outsourcing, oh, you're replacing my job. That's not what we were doing. We were looking at how can you maximize the capabilities people have and improve their skill sets and work better. right? So, for example, we improved the skill sets that people in that third-party country had significantly. They were learning how to do things that they never have done before. And they're doing a great job at it because what we did is we brought them over here to train for 3 months, sent them back, trained the trainer. We went there several times. You have to make the investment, right? And what happened is people in the U.S. came up in their skill set significantly. So what they used to previously do about 50% of their jobs and really didn't like because it was mundane and administrative in nature was replaced by an outsource provider. And they were able to work more directly with their clients. And that's what we all want, right? If you're in the client service business, you want to be aligned with your clients. You don't want to sit behind a monitor and enter data, right?
So, I mean, that outcome is upskilling. I mean, you're elevating people, right, within the company. And if more people kind of, you know, accelerate their skill set, the whole company benefits.
Absolutely. But the key to that is really the effective change management, right? And what I mean by that, a friend of mine used to always say, oh, you mean the ducks and the bunnies, the fluffy stuff? It's not fluffy stuff. It is, you know, 70% of projects fail because they don't have adequate change management. What that means is making sure you communicate adequately to your employee base, to your managers, and to your key executives what we're undertaking at each step of the way. But you're also showing them what's in it for me, right? Oh. That is the key that's always needed. So if I'm, you know, making widgets day in, day out, and after that I'm doing something different, I need to know what I'm going to do. Because the worst thing that can happen is it goes through my head, they're doing something. These suits are coming in and I'm going to lose my job, right? And if you think about key aspects in change management, there's always the people on the ladder, top rung of the ladder, champions, rah, rah, kumbaya, we're on board, right? Then there's the middle rung of the ladder, I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence. And then the bottom of the ladder, not on my watch, this is stupid, right? What people make the mistake of doing is they focus on the bottom rung. They're leaving the champions out in the cold, right? What happens is you're not getting the bottom rung in. You just leave them alone. Let them do whatever they need to do. But really reward the ones, the champions on the top. This is our class of people. And that will, peer pressure, bring that middle rung over immediately. And unfortunately, I have to say it, but in any initiative, you're going to lose some people. But what you don't want to do is you want to say, we're going to cut, you know, these people, we're going to cut. There's natural attrition. They may have been in the wrong job. They may have been in the wrong company. Maybe it's time for them to do something differently. But let it be their choice rather than your choice.
For sure.
I'm identifying with this description.
So, relatable.
So much.
Relatable.
Because I've been on different steps of that ladder. And I think when you're talking about the worker, the person at the bottom, when you're implementing change, is that oftentimes I feel like leadership kind of doesn't respect the intelligence of the people kind of on the bottom. You need to give people like a reason to want the change, a reason why it benefits them, and also show that you value them at the same time and not just, hey, we're asking you to do more with less is often how it feels. Again, I think you are just going to lose some people because some people are resistant to change.
Absolutely. And again, making sure you articulate what's in it for them. Why are we doing
with
that?
Them.
With them.
What's
at
in it
all
for me?
Levels, yeah. Right? It's not just, hey, in general, this is what we're doing at motherhood and apple pie. That doesn't work, right? What's with it for them specifically? And it takes time to make sure you have the right messaging and you need to be consistent about it. You need to repeat that message at all levels.
Talking with Eric Davison right now of DBV Solutions. And if you want to check out his company website, it's dbvsolutions.com. Talking a little bit about change management and global business transformations. Because this is a show about Vegas and it's about Vegas leadership, I wanted to do a quick little bio and walk us through from the beginning. So what was your first paid job? You may have been fairly young, but what was your first paid job, if you remember?
Yeah, coming from an entrepreneurial family, and you probably hear that from my West Texas accent. I didn't grow up over here. I grew up in Germany. Mm. Lived there for 20 years. My first job was entrepreneurial. My family had vertically integrated insurance offices. And when I say vertically integrated, it was car insurance, car sales, car repair, and car rental. So we had Hertz agencies. So I remember when you don't fill up the car, oh, as a 17-year-old who loves to drive, just got the license, you know, I washed the cars and I went to fill them up. I got to drive all these different cars. That was my first paid job.
A lot of people, JJ, it's like a lemonade stand. Eric's running insurance, you know, out of his garage there.
I love it. What a great way to get experience behind the wheel. I worked for an all-female valet service in LA.
Oh, wow.
For a couple of years. We wore pink tuxedos, by the way.
No kidding.
That's awesome.
It also will make you a darn good driver.
And you get to drive all kinds of cars, which is fantastic.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
On the Autobahn at that.
Right? It all works. And then two more things before we wrap it up with Eric Davidson. What is your favorite restaurant? You've been all over the world. You've been obviously Chicagoland area here in Vegas and so forth. Do you have a favorite restaurant that's a good place for you to dine, maybe think at the same time? What works for you?
In Vegas, correct?
In Vegas.
Yeah, we
in
want
Vegas.
To know you're in Vegas.
Yeah. So my favorite place, and I have to make a plug for it.
Okay. It's a commercial.
I love this.
It's called Aromi Italian. It's on Rampart Boulevard. It's about a mile off from the JW Marriott. It's a father-son team. The father used to be an executive chef at the Venetian, got burned out, and they went to Summerlin and opened up this fantastic Italian restaurant. It's Aromi.
To check that out.
That's what I'm talking about. What do you order?
Always the specials. He has daily specials and always the specials. Mm. He's great with carpaccios, even fish carpaccio, scallop carpaccio. I mean, it's fantastic.
Awesome. All right. I'm making notes. Are you making notes?
I absolutely
am. We gotta check
I love
out.
A good restaurant tip.
And let's check them out on another show.
We should.
We could. Yeah, absolutely.
We'll invite
say
them
Eric
in.
Sent us. Right. Perfect. Eric, thanks so much for stopping by for the visit. Eric Davidson, DBV Solutions, dbvsolutions.com. Great to hear about you as a business leader in Las Vegas and also about your organization, which is really just growing and really helping companies change. And every company needs to be elastic. And we see that every week on this show that you have to change to stay current, right? So doing that is a great service that you're providing to clients around the country.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it, Jeff. This was so much fun. Thank you, JJ. Phenomenal experience. Thank you.
We will take a break. And when we come back on the Vegas Business Report, we will have a little bit more for you on this Saturday.
Now it's time for Nonprofit Spotlight.
And we're back.
Vegas Business Report rolling on. It is time right now for Nonprofit Spotlight. Today we shine a light on Opportunity Village. Tracy Brown May, their Chief Administrative Officer, nice enough to join us. We went on campus to talk with Tracy JJ and we asked her how Opportunity Village came to be.
Opportunity Village was founded in 1954 by 7 families who had children with developmental disabilities. And at that time in our country, families were often coached by their doctors to put their children in institutional care and just move on with their lives. These 7 families decided that they didn't want to do that. And so they kept those children at home and decided to raise them. And as a result, we became a school to teach kids with intellectual or developmental disabilities.
One thing that's amazing about Opportunity Village, Tracy, is just the breadth of classes and trainings and activities that are here every day on this campus. We're on the Ingolstadt campus today to record this. Tell me a little bit about all those programs and how they really make such an unbelievable impact.
We are able to grow our programs to serve a wide a swath of people. Right. And so whether you have a profound disability and require nursing care, G-tube feeding, medication therapy, right, one-on-one supports, we have that high support need program. And we have people that are placed in community employment that you would never recognize as having a disability of any type. And we serve everyone in between. Lately, we have really grown our reach into school-to-work transition. So 18 to 22-year-old high school students who are wondering if they're going to be employed or what kind of job would they want. And so we've really focused a lot on helping kids come out of high school into employment. And it's really been this amazing and rewarding opportunity. Do you know, when you fly through the airport, many of our Opportunity Village employees are there working as part of just the airport staff. You would never recognize them unless you were looking for an OV logo on a person's shirt. They're just working as part of a team in our community.
The work you do, it's really lifting up the community on so many levels. Not only people with disabilities, but their families as well are getting this amazing support. Opportunity Village, lovely name. What's the history of that name?
Oh, that's a good question. It actually morphed in the mid-70s from CCARC, which is how those parents founded us as an educational institution. And one of the things that we have discovered organizationally is that you have to continue to evolve as the population that you're serving evolves, right? So as we become more informed and aware about equity in our community, right? How do we have true integration and acceptance of people who may be differently abled? We have to continue to evolve how we present ourselves. And so throughout the 60s and into the 70s, the organization then started its first business line, which was a retail thrift store. And we were a local partner because it was about a cowboy happenings, right? How are we able to get the who's who to come into our thrift store? And so it became more about a village coming together around the people that we were here to serve. And there is nothing but opportunity around us. And so I think it was a natural evolution of the organization, and it really speaks to who we are even today.
We're talking with Tracy Brown May from Opportunity Village on our nonprofit spotlight. I want to ask you about what's next door here, Betty's Village. And I don't know if everybody knows that story, but it is the most impactful, heartwarming story that I'm aware of. And it's right next door to your campus right here, Tracy. Tell us about Betty's Village and what it does for people.
Betty's Village is the culmination of years of research and lots of love. People with developmental disabilities are often not able to move away from mom and dad. Betty's Village is a response to that need. We have parents coming to us saying, what happens to my adult child with a disability after I die? Who takes care of them? And we as a community did not have an answer to that problem. So we built Betty's Village. It is a residential community. It's a gated community where a person with a disability signs their own lease and they move into their one bedroom or two bedroom apartment home, where they could stay as long as they want. It's an incredible solution to a problem that we continue to grow throughout our country. There just isn't enough accessible, affordable housing, and Betty's Village speaks directly to that. The thing I like the most about Betty's Village is the community. It's a community of natural supports, so people can go visit their neighbor. Before Betty's Village, you lived in a group home. And you didn't have any control over your schedule. You didn't have control over your dining times. If you didn't like your roommates, then that was just tough, right? Betty's Village allows you to live a true adult life integrated in your community to the degree that you want to be. We have seen amazing success stories.
It is a really incredible place. I was able to tour it, and it has a really outstanding fitness facility, and also a young lady who declares herself the mayor.
Yes.
I believe, an actual
That's correct,
resident.
Lizzie, yes. She's remarkable. She works at Starbucks. Yes, so she's your expediter barista at a Starbucks here locally. She's been there for about 5 or 6 years now. And so she just goes to work in the morning and comes home at the end of the day. And she was elected to her position at Betty's Village by the residents to act as their mayor. So Mayor Lizzie's right next door.
Well, that's a perfect example, actually, of how people with disabilities, how their role in society has evolved over the decades compared to when the Seven Families, started this whole organization. Moving forward, are there any upcoming initiatives that you're excited about?
Yes, there are several. First, we are so happy about the success of Betty's Village that we are in the middle of constructing Betty's Village 2. So 2.0, isn't it? It's incredible. It's slated to be open October of this year, so later this year. We have a waiting list of folks that are, anticipating their move-in, and the growing waiting list of people who want to move into a community just like it. The new version will have storefronts. So we will have a cafe. We're planning a small retail boutique store. And so lots of other opportunities, as well as our traditional dehabilitation day programming or launch space for people to go out into the community. So that's our first thing that we're most excited about. The second thing is that we're always looking to how do we better utilize the spaces that we have to bring our community in. And we just launched and completed a new utilization of the Magical Forest. So I don't know if most people know. The Magical Forest for us is open during Halloween and Christmas, and it is a pine forest in the middle of the desert that functions as a community engagement activity and a fundraiser for us. But it's Santa's Christmas Village, basically. And thousands of visitors come through and ride the train and the carousel, and it's a great fun family activity. And we're finding that families need things to do. So we just launched Spring Fest this year. So over spring break, we opened up the Magical Forest. It was decorated in flowers.
Fun.
It was. It was such a neat experience. The train ran, the carousel ran. So we had all of our rides going. And we charged folks just a nominal fee to come in and utilize all of our spaces. And it was such a great success. There are so many families who don't leave Las Vegas on spring break that they needed activities. And so I think we're going to continue to explore how do we better utilize the assets that we have to serve our community better. And I think that's what Opportunity Village is all about, right? Service of our community, which is why we've been here for more than 70 years.
I want to give two shout outs to people before in groups before we wrap it up. One is the people that work full-time employees of Opportunity Village in the offices, in this building, and the other campuses that really are such great employees. They work so hard. I've seen a lot of them in action. So shout out to them. And I also want to shout out the donors, because I know you have big events and people can go to the website and look at some of the events and things in addition to the Magical Forest, the gala, and all these different things. But those big donors and small donors make such a difference in keeping this thing expanding year after year. It's just unbelievably impactful. So shout out to those folks too.
Absolutely. We can't do it without everyone. That really is what our community is about. Every single donor, irrespective of what level of donation or contribution, time, talent, treasure, it all is important. And we welcome every volunteer and every donor into our fold. Our staff are, they are absolutely amazing people because they come at this with love. And if you look at the Opportunity Village logo and compare that to the word love, OV is in the middle of love. And so that's what we really try to work on every day, that we just love each other, love our community, love the people that we serve.
And you can get a license plate in the state of Nevada with that heart on it.
You sure can. Yes, you sure can. It's on my wall. Look, that's the first one.
If people want to stay connected or learn how they can give back or volunteer with Opportunity Village, how can they do that?
Well, thank you for that question. It's really important we give folks an opportunity to stay plugged in. The easiest way is always Opportunity Village website. So that's opportunityvillage.org. All of our social media channels, our Facebook, our Instagram, we're everywhere. So just look up Opportunity Village and you will automatically be connected to us.
So great to talk with Tracy. And thanks to Mary, Laura, and Christina and their whole team for their great hospitality. They are lovely over
amazing
there at Opportunity Village.
And they
good
do
vibes
so much. They do so much. I loved going there. And opportunityvillage.org, great place to see what they're up to. That is going to do it for this edition of the Vegas Business Report. That is a wrap. Next week, we will talk with the owner of a growing local business called Reliable Environmental Services. And we'll be back with another Vegas Business Report next Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on 840 a.m.
Thanks for joining us.
This has been the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Today's show was produced by Monarch CX. To visit the official show website, go to VegasBusinessReport.com.